Psalm 77:12 says, I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. This is talking about providence, God's providence, and creation. Now, providence, defined, is the act of providing or preparing for future use or application. Creation is the act of creating, the act of causing to exist, and especially the act of bringing this world into existence. So when Psalm 77 says, I will meditate also of all thy work, when David says that, he's acknowledging the God of creation. How does that work? Go to Genesis 2:2. That is the first mention of the word work in the King James Holy Bible. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. When God goes to work, it's an act of creation. So when you see the word work in relation to God, not necessarily the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus, but God, it's talking about creation. So when David says, I will meditate also of thy work, he means creation. And there are over 300 mentions, not necessarily just the word creation, but 300 mentions of God's creative work in the Bible, in the scriptures. Okay, so in the scriptures, over 300 mentions of creation. So why is that important? Well, that's the first time work was ever mentioned. And God rested on the seventh day. Okay, so when you work, you create stuff. You name stuff. You do stuff. You get tired. That's what work is. Okay, so the people that don't like to work or are too lazy to work, that's anti-biblical. Anti-biblical. You're going directly against what God set forth in the first chapter of the Bible. So it mentions also thy doings. Psalm 77:12 says, I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. So under providence and creation, or just under providence, we have thy doings, the end of the verse. Isaiah 12:4 says, and in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. So if you do a quick search on doings, most of the time it's about Israel. It's very negative when you see that word, because it's almost their doings. I'm gonna wipe them out because they're wicked in their doings. If they don't turn their doings, if they don't stop doing that, but this mention is his doings, the Lord's doings. His doings are creative acts. Anytime the Lord intervenes in our lives to keep us alive, he is affecting the future of countless situations and countless people. His doings can be daily blessings, where you notice God's hand in your life. His doings can be just a general appreciation for his creation, the plants, the trees, sun, moon, and stars. His doings can also be as simple as just thanking him for his book that showed us that way to salvation, so we do not spend eternity in hell. So the illustration would be of God's providence, which is the act of providing or preparing for future use or application, is Acts 27. Turn to Acts 27. And you can literally read the whole chapter. And it's about Paul when he went into that shipwreck while he was going to Rome, showing that God saved him out of the shipwreck and he had something else for him to do because of that. You understand? God saved him out of that shipwreck and he saved him because he still had something else for him to do. So that's God's providence, keeping Paul for a future thing. Next, when facing the enemy. Psalms 119:23, princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Psalm 119:23. The enemies were not only outside enemies, but there were enemies within, as we saw with David and Saul, and many other examples in the Bible where you can't trust when you're in a high position. You can't trust even the people around you. That's what makes it so dangerous to be in a high position. Okay, like the Caesars back in the day. Most of the time they got murdered or massacred by the crowd around them because they didn't like what he was doing and didn't go to the will of his council. Oftentimes they would just plot against the leader, the Caesar, in Rome, and they would just 27 people, 20 people, 15 people, how many they were in the council, would take knives and stab him to death. Okay, so whenever you're in a position, a high position, there's always somebody that wants to kill you in one way, shape, or form. And we see that a lot in the news with Trump these days. They don't agree with what he does, therefore they're trying to take him down. They're trying with political pressures, media pressures, kind of beginnings of a civil war, putting the streets under pressure. So, because there's a demonic class of people that want to control everything. And obviously, as Bible believers, as people who understand and read the Bible, we know that it's heading in that direction. It has to go into a globalist direction because the Antichrist needs to take over. That's just the way it is. Although we see some kind of hope here and there, it's never going to last because the Bible is correct. And God says, I am not a man that I should lie, right? We see princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in the statutes. So when facing the enemy, troubles outside, troubles inside. Paul sums it up beautifully in 2 Corinthians 7:5, if you want to turn there. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Anytime you're doing anything serious for the Lord, you will get opposition from outside and from inside. In conclusion, to meditate on God's word is a privilege in this life. Men have bled for this book, died for this book, and have been skinned alive for memorizing it by the whore of seven hills. If we see that the scriptures are not important to us, that can be changed by growing not just in knowledge, but in the grace of God. Realizing that God is in control and we could do nothing of ourselves, whether we like it or not. If God allows positive or negative things in our life, that's his business. But the closer we get to him, it would be like us walking on water. And who wouldn't like to walk on water without risking drowning? Okay, so the closer you get to God, the more it's like walking on water with your troubles around you. So just to summarize, we talked about the meditation part of our text, and it's important that we remember and we meditate on what we remember, not just to, you know, I don't have time and just gloss over it. It's important to swirl it around in your head so it gets down to your heart when it's time to use it. And David was a master at that. So the more he thought about those things, the closer he was with the Lord, because he understood the mind of God. Imagine a God that allows us to try and understand him when he's infinite and we're not. But he gives us little glimpses here and there. And it all depends on how much you want to know about him. It's not about how much he lets you know about him. It's how much we desire to know about him. God bless. So thank you, Lord, for this message. Sometimes the smallest words can have the deepest meanings. And I thank you for that. That's what your scriptures are all about. Just when you think you're going to do something topical, it becomes super deep. And it could go a lot deeper than that as well. But what we've learned today, I just pray that it not only swirls around in our minds, but ends up in our hearts and cleans out that little thing, if it's at all possible. And help us throughout the week. And help us get closer to you. And please come back and get us in the clouds very soon, even today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.